The Old Testament brings us today a story of things that we do not know. Even as God's people, assumptions that we make that we do not know. King Balak had sent for Balaam, who was apparently a godly man because he walked with God. And apparently some type of prophet, although doesn't seem like he was a prophet to the nation of Israel. Nevertheless, he spoke to God, and he spoke for God. So he's on his way back with the king's nobility, and he's going to go back and meet the king, who has coerced him to come, although God said, go, but don't say a word that I don't give you. And an angel stands in his path, and the donkey sees it, but Balaam doesn't. And so Balaam is ticked. At every turn, he's ticked. His foot gets smashed, and he's really ticked. And you know what? I know what that's like. I have dropped things on my toes before. Even before I left on this trip, I was hanging a mirror in my house, and it smashed my foot a little bit. And I was mad. I was ticked. I wanted to kick it in. And it's just an inanimate object, but I was mad at it. So his foot gets smashed, and he is ticked, and he keeps off his donkey and starts to beat it. And they go a little bit further, and it stops again. They go a little bit further, and there's no way for it to pass, so it just lays down. Balaam is really mad, jumps off, starts beating it, and then all of a sudden, the donkey speaks. What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times? Balaam, it appears, is so mad that he doesn't even realize the donkey is speaking to me. He just yells, if I had a sword with me, I would kill you. You'd be dead. But what is it that Balaam gives as the reason for all of this? Why is Balaam so mad? You have made me look like a fool. All right, so Balaam's not mad that the donkey is not obeying, at least not predominantly. He's not mad that his foot got smashed. He's mostly mad because he's in front of royalty, nobility, and the donkey has made him look like a fool. Donkey says, but you've ridden me your whole life. Have I ever done anything like this before? And Balaam says, no. And then God opens his eyes, and he sees what's really going on. An angel is in the path. We don't always know what's going on. And we have got to learn to trust in the sovereignty of God, but not only the sovereignty of God, but we have to trust that God is present in every situation. This story made me think back to the last time I was in India. I was all prepared with everything that I needed and the classes that I wanted to teach. I wanted to use some illustrations through film clips. And I was setting up in the class just before the first one was to start. And I had this little sort of micro drive that had all the film clips on it. And I was plugging that in and getting it hooked up to the projector. And it slipped off the table and fell and hit the ground. But it didn't hit the ground hard. It wasn't like wham, it just splintered. It just hit the ground. But from that point on, it wouldn't boot up. It wouldn't work. It was ruined. I took it back to my room, worked on it, nothing. Couldn't get it to respond at all. There was power, but the drive was ruined. And it never did come back. And I remember being in my room going, God, I am as jet lagged as a guy can get. I am literally on the other side of the world. I am so tired I can barely keep my eyes open. I am so fatigued because China and I had flown in and arrived at between 3 and 4 a.m. And my first class was at 10. So when we arrived, we couldn't sleep. And by the time it was time to go to class, we were exhausted. So I'm working on this all out of sorts, trying to figure out a plan B. I finally just had to go, all right, I came here to India because you told me to. I came here prepared with a message for the week that I believe you gave me to give these students. This has got to be your problem. There must be more going on than I can see, because right now all I want to do is hurl this thing out the window. And I'm so frustrated because I need you to show up. And I need you to show up now. And I plugged the drive in again, and sure enough, it didn't come back on. So I had to go back down and teach a class without the aid of the visuals that I was planning on, that I thought would really reinforce the point. And for that whole week, I had to go without that reinforcement. Instead, I had to find other ways to describe what it was I was trying to articulate. But by the time that I got to the end of the week, I realized a couple of things. Number one, no, I didn't need them. It wasn't a make it or break it deal. Number two, it forced me to be more personal and intimate and open with my class. And with this particular class, these were smart people. This was the class of humanities and sciences. So they weren't looking for new tips on how to balance their checkbook. They were looking for deeper things. And so that resonated more with the class, that I just got in the thick of it with them. And I had to admit, all right, end of the week comes, class is over. This worked out for the best. I had to learn to be in the moment with God, to roll with it, to understand that nothing will thwart the will of God when God's people are in His will. And no matter what, God will come through. What I've learned, not only through that example, but through life, is that rarely do things work out in the will of God the way that I plan them. I may sense from the Holy Spirit a clear path, a clear direction. And usually the way that God works with me is He gives me the long view. I'll get a piece of the vision further out. What was my normal nature to do was to fill in all the blanks and try to make that happen, but it never worked. What I've learned is what I said in the February review. The journey is the destination. There's joy in the journey. We will get there. It just won't be the way we planned. It won't be the way we would have planned. God will take us the scenic route. We'll meet people and have experiences that we would have never had. We'll have memories to put in our pockets, to write in our journals, to prove God's faithfulness once again. Balaam didn't know all that was going on, but once he got clear on it, he went forward and blessed God's people when he was hired to curse them three times over. He did exactly what he was instructed to do by God and by the angel. Don't say anything that I don't give you to say. And isn't that really how we should all live?